The world's greatest traders share a set of principles that transcend specific strategies or market conditions. These market wizards, profiled in Jack Schwager's legendary interview series, reveal that success has less to do with secret formulas and more to do with psychological discipline, risk management, and finding approaches that align with your personality. Their collective wisdom offers a roadmap not just for trading mastery, but for excellence in any competitive field. Many legendary traders started by losing everything. Michael Marcus, who later turned $30,000 into $80 million, lost multiple investments, including $42,000 on a single corn trade. Tony Saliba dropped from $75,000 to $15,000 in 6 weeks. Yet both persisted to become trading legends. Like baseball's Bob Gibson, who rebounded from a poor major league debut to reach the Hall of Fame, these traders prove initial failures don't determine final outcomes. The key lessons? Start small to minimize costly learning experiences and develop resilience to continue when others quit. Trading success comes through various approaches. Jim Rogers achieved remarkable results as a fundamental analyst who dismisses technical analysis, while Marty Schwartz made millions using purely technical methods after failing with fundamentals. I always laugh at people who say, "I've never met a rich technician," Schwartz notes. "I used fundamentals for 9 years and got rich as a technician." This contrast reveals that markets offer multiple paths to success. Whether through fundamental analysis, technical approaches, or combinations across different time frames, what matters is finding a method that matches your personality and psychology. Can good money management alone make you profitable? Absolutely not. The Wall Street adage that even a poor trading system could make money with good money management is mathematically flawed. Without an edge, no money management approach can create profits, just as no betting system can overcome the house advantage in roulette. Money management only helps preserve capital when you already have a positive edge. Every successful trader interviewed had a specific methodology that gave them an edge, a genuine advantage that would be profitable if repeated over a large number of trades. This edge might come from superior information, better analysis, psychological discipline, or the ability to identify market inefficiencies. As Monroe Trout explained, make sure you have the edge. Know what your edge is. Have rigid risk control rules. If your system isn't any good, you're still going to lose money, no matter how effective your money management rules are. This challenges the common misconception that risk management alone can transform a losing strategy into a winning one. The first requirement for trading success is developing a methodology with positive expectancy. Then, money management can transform a modestly profitable approach into a potentially spectacular one by preserving capital during drawdowns and maximizing returns during favorable periods. Trading presents a fascinating paradox. It requires tremendous hard work, yet should feel effortless when done correctly. Many are attracted to trading as an easy path to wealth, yet the most successful traders are incredible workaholics. Marty Schwartz continues market analysis late into the night after trading all day. David Shaw assembled brilliant scientists to develop complex models while working so intensely he takes a few hours of work each day just to keep myself sane during vacations. John Bender routinely worked 20-hour days trading across global markets. Yet, paradoxically, good trading should feel effortless. As one trader explained using a Zen archery metaphor, the essence of the idea is that you have to learn to let the arrow shoot itself. In trading, whenever there is effort, force, straining, struggling, or trying, it's wrong. The perfect trade requires no effort. This apparent contradiction is resolved by understanding that the hard work happens in preparation, studying markets, developing methodologies, testing strategies, while the actual trading process should flow naturally. Like a marathon runner who trains rigorously for years but runs effortlessly during races, traders do their hard work before the market opens, allowing decisions to flow naturally when it's time to execute. The market wizards emphasize managing both losing and winning periods effectively. During drawdowns, they recommend reducing position size and potentially stopping trading. As Paul Tudor Jones notes, "When I am trading poorly, I keep reducing my position size." Michael Marcus warns that losing begets losing through negative psychology. Paradoxically, success periods can be equally treacherous. Marty Schwartz observes that his biggest losses have always followed largest profits, as traders become complacent and overlook potential risks during winning streaks. This reflects basic human psychology. Fear during losses leads to hesitation, while overconfidence during wins promotes excessive risk-taking. Both extremes impair judgment. Reducing position size during drawdowns addresses both financial and psychological challenges, while maintaining discipline during winning periods protects gains. Risk management supersedes profit-seeking for successful traders. As Bruce Kovner emphasizes, knowing your exit point before entering a trade removes emotional decision-making. Colm O'Shea's approach prioritizes determining the stop level and maximum loss before calculating position size. Paul Tudor Jones exemplifies the high-energy, chaos-thriving trader, while Gil Blake represents the methodical researcher trading quietly with consistent returns. Each succeeded by embracing their natural style rather than copying others. Bluecrest Capital's success, 12% annual returns, less than 5% drawdowns, shows effective risk management in action. Their system reduces manager allocation after losses while allowing unlimited upside. Even elite traders like Steve Cohen win only 50 to 63% of trades, making loss control essential. Cohen's advice for uncertainty: if the market is moving against you and you don't know why, take in half. This prevents both total losses and missed opportunities. Michael Platt warns that large losses create psychological barriers, leaving you unprepared for future opportunities. Larry Height's 1% risk per trade rule proves that effective risk management can be simple, with consistency mattering more than the specific percentage used. William Eckhart argues that human nature opposes trading success because people make comfort-seeking decisions that perform worse than random in markets. As Richard Dennis said, if it feels good, don't do it. Joel Greenblatt's Magic Formula website demonstrated this when automatically managed portfolios outperform self-managed ones by 25% over 2 years. Investors making their own choices acted emotionally, reducing positions during downturns and selling underperformers that later became winners. This explains why equity flows from the many to the few. The majority loses by following natural instincts. Success requires doing what feels uncomfortable, cutting losses quickly, letting profits run, and adding to winners rather than averaging down losing positions. The key to trading success isn't finding a secret formula. It's developing the discipline to act against comfort-seeking instincts and do what's effective rather than what feels good.